From the Watson Institute at Brown University, this is Trending Globally. I'm Sarah Baldwin. For part two of our student spotlight series leading up to commencement, we talked with Ethan Shire. Ethan's a political science concentrator and an active member of Brown's political scene. But his junior year, he took Engineering 1010, a class on entrepreneurship taught by Professor Danny Warshe, and it started him on a path he did not expect. He loved the class and went on to serve as its TA and became an integral member of the Brown business community. We talked about how he first got the entrepreneurial bug and how his interests in policy, history, and business overlapped at Brown. We started by talking about how Engineering 1010, which Ethan refers to as Engine 1010, sharpened his skills as a writer, thinker, and problem solver.
So I actually took the course as a student the fall of my junior year and have subsequently served as a teaching assistant, first as an assistant TA, and then this year in the fall and spring semesters as the head TA for the class. And TAing Professor Warshe has easily been the most fulfilling experience I've had at Brown. Being able to see kind of the intricacies of the course, what happens behind the scenes, and kind of being able to get a sense of how other people think, which is to myself in turn, really provided me a platform to kind of better understand my own writing and the way I can express my own self. So a little bit about the class. It's conducted like a business school course where each day students come in having read a case that day produced by Harvard Business School.
What's an example of a case study?
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess I'll use one of my favorite through the semester in the course is one called Noodles & Co., which is a chain that actually originated in the Midwest of really like a noodle shop that produced various types of noodle-based dishes, whether it be macaroni and cheese, Asian noodles, things of that nature. And it basically talks about how this company fostered such a sophisticated, really human resources platform where they compensated and gave more leadership opportunities to their employees such that those employees kind of performed at a higher level and they in turn provided greater customer service than their competitors. Then Noodles expands and now it's actually like a nationwide brand. We don't have it here in New England really, but it's extremely popular in the Midwest. I know parts of the East Coast, Washington, D.C. and Philadelphia, and just a really cool case of how founder kind of took different approach to kind of expand their business. The other part of the course that I love being part of is the business plan. So the class is usually about 35, 36 students, and students are broken up into groups of five or six normally, where they create their own business plan that they pitch at the end of the semester to different VCs, as if it were a real live venture capital pitch.
And then what happens?
And then from there, students kind of have the decision of whether or not they're going to continue their project or not. And kind of my role in all this is helping groups, one, settle on an idea. So I'm kind of there throughout the ideation phase, helping generate an interesting topic and an interesting viable business model. And then throughout when they're working on their financials and also working with groups to actually find experts in their subject area. And something that I found really interesting as someone who's been studying entrepreneurship is, although having expertise in a subject area is vital and is important, having just kind of a general sense of what needs to be done for a business to get going is just as important, regardless of what your expertise in a certain sector may or may not be.
And have any of those ideas been funded?
Oh, yeah, a number of them. I mean, a project Danny talks about all the time is, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Casper Mattress. So that was not born out of the class, but the founders, Luke and Neil, Danny's worked closely with both of them. And Luke actually came to class last fall. And it's really interesting to hear him speak about how Engine 1010 and kind of being exposed to entrepreneurship as a Brown student prepared him for kind of success and how he actually had a venture fail before starting Casper, which obviously is humongously successful. But actually another product that came out of the class was Runa, which is kind of like an iced tea drink. You see it a lot around here. And that actually idea was a business plan presented in Engine 1010 that ended up flourishing.
And Engine 1010 is...
Oh,
Engineering
1010. No, yeah, okay. That's the course code for the class. So Engine 1010 is the course code. The class is, I got to be honest, I am a political science, Latin American studies concentrator. My engineering expertise is quite limited, but nonetheless, the course is taught in the engineering department. And I don't know if you're familiar with the work Danny's been doing with the Nelson Center, but actually just today actually is the official opening of the new Nelson Center building. So there's going to be tons of different opportunities for Brown founders, for Brown students interested in entrepreneurship to pursue their ventures in the coming years. And it's nice that I'm getting to see this building come to fruition after hearing about it for so many years. And also sad that it's coming up just as I'm on my way out. But there's a Shake Shack, yes.
So first of all, Ethan, define entrepreneurship. And then tell me what about that is interesting to you, and then how it overlaps with public policy.
So that's a great question. the way Danny teaches entrepreneurship, and I think is kind of the best way to define the word, is basically you are searching for a solution to a problem without regard to the resources that are being controlled for currently. So basically, a successful venture is answering someone's problem. There has to be some sort of need that you are filling, some sort of void out there that your product, that your idea, that your service is kind of filling the void of. And I think that's really the best way to define entrepreneurship. Danny talks about the burden of abundant resources often, which is basically the idea that, sure, giant companies, whether they be General Motors or Amazon or Facebook, have tons of resources, tons of capital, a lot of really smart people working there. But then again, when there is sort of a niche in this market, they may not be the best ones to fill it because they have so many other obligations. And that if they were to launch a venture and it fails, that would hurt them a lot more than a startup by a few recent college graduates that really have nothing to lose. And so there really is a distinct advantage that smaller companies that kind of have young founders that really have not much to lose, they actually have a competitive advantage over some of these larger giants.
Do you remember when you first became interested in it?
I would say my interest exclusively came out of the class. So my first 2 years at Brown, I spent a lot of time in the Watts Institute, going to events, running different programs, putting on events myself, and my interests were kind of squarely focused in the public policy realm. Always had an interest in foreign defense policy, national security work, and the summer before I took Danny's class, actually, I was in Washington, D.C., working for a think tank called the American Enterprise Institute, where I was doing national security research for a think tank scholar there, which was an amazing experience. But I knew I always had an interest in kind of the private sector, particularly business and startups. And I was never someone who was super interested in investment banking or anything like that. I didn't have much of a sophisticated financial background. And so I guess I had this preconceived notion that sort of prohibited me from engaging in kind of entrepreneurial community, the business community here at Brown, which is a very rich and robust community in and of itself. But after taking Engine 1010 and learning more about kind of what are the tools that it takes to be successful in business and kind of be engaged more in the Nelson Center, I really learned that having a background in public policy where you kind of have this based interest and demonstrated skill set to do adequate research and solve problems, that's really the skill set necessary to be, I think, successful in a startup and in business writ large.
Very cool. And tell me what your thesis was about.
Yeah. I did my thesis on the 1994 AMI attack in Buenos Aires, which was an attack on the Jewish community in Buenos Aires. The AMIA was sort of like the focal point of the Jewish community, sort of akin to what we would call a JCC here in the United States. And it is actually the deadliest terror attack in Argentina's history, where 85 people were murdered. And in the 25 years since the attack took place, which was on July 18th, 1994, there have not been any adequate arrests. The current suspects of the crime are out and about. None of them have been brought back to Argentina to stand trial. And so my thesis looked at, one, how was this attack conducted? And two, why has there been this tremendous failure of the rule of law in Argentina to bring to justice the perpetrators of this heinous, heinous attack?
You're active in so many different dimensions, from entrepreneurship to public policy to history to this topic of your thesis to international relations. Is there a way you see all this cohering after Brown?
I guess part of the reason I chose Brown was because the open curriculum, how it's feasible to concentrate in multiple disciplines. So I'm a political science Latin American studies concentrator that has serious interest in public policy, and I've been involved in various political groups on campus, but also have this interest in kind of business and entrepreneurship. And I think one of the great things about being a Brown undergrad is that you can have your foot in so many different doors, where it's much more difficult to do so once you are an adult with a full-time job. And so honestly, the way I've looked at it, I've just been trying to pursue my own academic and recreational interests during my time at Brown to hopefully allow me to figure out what to do in my life after Brown. I know in the immediate future, I'll be working for a really small boutique management consulting firm in Boston. And my eventual hope is to apply to law school or business school or maybe a joint program that allows me to get both degrees. One of the things I love most is that I've been able to combine so many different interests, even though they might necessarily not link together naturally. I think nonetheless, they provide me with a really an effective skill set to hopefully have success in whatever industries I end up pursuing. But in the short term, I don't know, I've really loved my 4 years here at Brown. I don't think I would have had a better undergraduate experience anywhere else. And I think that's because I've been able to pursue so many different interests.
Real quick, what will you miss most?
Wow, that's a great question. Just speaking to my friends from high school who go to other schools, other universities, I think the attention that undergraduates get here is unparalleled. Whether it's working with my thesis advisor, Professor Erica Durante, my second reader, Professor J. Brian Atwood, both of which phenomenal scholars, Professor Durante was so incredibly helpful throughout every step of the process of this thesis research. Brian Atwood is an extremely accomplished diplomat himself, working at the highest levels of State Department. And then, of course, my relationship with Danny, with Professor Warshay, someone who's had an incredibly successful business career and then has done so much here for the Brown community, and who himself is a Brown alum and has done so much for his alma mater, class of 87. And I think just this attention that I've gotten from, that I've received from so many leaders in their industries, I'm not going to get that in the real world when I'm a management consultant and I'm going to have to put in a lot of long hours doing fairly mundane routine tasks. What I'm going to miss the most about Brown is basically this exceptional attention I've received from leading scholars and leaders in their fields.
This episode of Trending Globally was produced by Dan Richards and Babette Thomas. Our theme music is by Henry Bloomfield. I'm Sarah Baldwin. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app. If you like what you hear, leave us a rating and review on iTunes. It really helps others find the show. For more information about this and other shows, go to watson.brown.edu. Thanks for listening. We'll be back soon with another episode of Trending Globally.